Well, good morning, everybody. Hope everybody has had a great holiday week. How many of you ate too much this week? Anyone? Okay, good. Well, I'm not preaching on gluttony today. Thank the Lord. Amen. I will never actually preach on that subject because, let's just say because. Amen. But anyhow, it's good to be in God's house today. Amen. I'm glad to see everybody here. If you have your Bibles, we're going to kind of go back and forth between Romans chapter 7 and Romans chapter 8 today. So if you will, turn to that and hold your place there. Guys, isn't it great to know that those of us who are born again believers in Jesus, for us there is now no condemnation. That's great to know, isn't it? I don't think some people really understand what that means. And hopefully in the next few minutes, I can help you understand what that means, because that is probably the most awesome promise in the whole Bible itself. Really and truly, that's probably one of the most awesome and most powerful promises that God has made to us. So we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 8, the first, say, 8 verses. But I want to back up to Romans chapter 7 to kind of lay a little bit of groundwork here before we get started. Now, the Apostle Paul, of course, is the author of the book of Romans. Now, Paul, if you remember, used to be called Saul. He was a rough character, wasn't he? Until he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and then his life was never the same again. How many of you can say you've had a Damascus experience before, and your life has never been the same since then? Amen. Now, here's the deal. Paul, when I think of Paul, when you think of Paul, I think of this powerful mega Christian guy who didn't do anything wrong once he got saved. But guys, Paul was just like you and I. He struggled. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about how God's grace has covered our past, present, and future sins, so that when we do mess up along the way, there's no condemnation. When we slip up along the way, there's no condemnation. Now, I'm going to help you understand what I'm talking about here, because if you don't know Jesus, there is condemnation waiting. I want to tell you that. I want to be sure you understand that. But in Christ, there is no condemnation. That means when we slip up, if we slip up 1,000 times, it's covered. There's no condemnation for those who know Jesus Christ. But Paul, I'm going to look at Romans chapter 7 for a minute. We'll stand and read in just a minute, but you can stay seated for this. In Romans chapter 7, beginning with verse 15, this is Paul and his struggle with some issue of sin in his life. Now, the Bible's not clear as to what that is. I don't know, and I'm not going to speculate. Just like we have things that we struggle with in our daily lives, and you know what? Paul's no different. Paul talking here is not talking about how he was before he got saved. He's talking about while he was saved. So let's look at some verses here real quick, beginning with verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. In other words, I don't know why I do these things that I don't want to do, but I do them. And I hate that when it happens. That's what Paul's saying. Any of you ever hate something you've done, and when it's over with, you just feel terrible about it? Guys, there's no condemnation for those who know Jesus. Amen. There's no condemnation. He goes on to say in verse 16, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now there's the root of it right there. It's the sin that dwells in us that causes us and allows us to enter into some things that we ought not be doing. That's what Paul's saying. Hey, I'm a sinful man. I'm struggling with things. Man, if it wasn't for Romans chapter 7, sometimes I would think I'm the worst person in the world. Amen. How many of you feel like that sometimes? Amen. But Paul struggled with the same things. Now, if Paul struggled with it, don't you know we're going to struggle with it too? We're going to have some struggles and some issues too. Verse 18 of Romans chapter 7. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Guys, there's no good thing within our flesh. There's nothing good in our flesh. That's why when you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God enters into you and makes you into a new creature. We still have the same sinful husk of a body that we live in, but we are covered by God's grace. Therefore, we are no longer condemned by the things we do. And Paul's saying here now, it's not me that's doing this. I don't want to do it, but I keep doing it. It's the sinful nature that I have that's causing me to do this. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. In other words, I'm willing to do, I want to do the right thing. For the will is present, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. In other words, I have trouble sometimes doing that which is good. Sometimes you ever just want to do something that's bad? Okay, let's admit it. Sometimes we just want to do something bad. And a lot of times it's not something that, you know, and the world always gauges sin. Now, that's not that bad. I mean, that's nothing to get bent out of shape about. But guys, sometimes we do things that are bad. And it could be talking about somebody. It could be our language. It could be a lot of different things that we slip up with in our daily lives. Paul was no different. I want you to understand that. That's why I felt like I had to lay this groundwork here. Verse 19, for the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. In other words, the good that I ought to be doing, sometimes I don't do that, but it's the evil I do. And it's not because I want to do it. It's because I am of the flesh, just like everybody else. Paul was not elevated to a different stature than any of us when he got saved. We're all sinners saved by grace. Amen. If you believe that, say amen. We're all sinners saved by grace. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. See, without Jesus and what he did for us, we would all be condemned. There would be condemnation for everyone. But those of us in Christ, there is no condemnation. Now, that's not a free ticket to go on and just act like a hooligan the rest of your life. Amen? And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. Now, having laid the groundwork, I want to skip on down to verse 24 there in chapter 7. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Paul's saying here, I am a terrible person, God. Who is going to deliver me from this? He's thinking this to himself now because he slips up and he has issues with sin. Look at what he says in verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So in other words, in my right frame of mind, I know Jesus is inside me and I'm serving him. But if I'm relying on my body, I'm serving sin. That's what he's saying right there, guys. So see, we got to learn to separate mind and body. Yeah, we want our body to be a temple unto the Lord, but guess what? Sometimes our temple gets a little dirty every now and then, doesn't it? Sometimes our temple gets a little cluttered every now and then. So we got to keep our mind focused, and that's what we're going to talk about in a little minute. Guys, the 8th chapter of Romans begins with one of the greatest promises in the entire Bible. I'm starting in on our notes today. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And even standing by itself there is something in those words that ought to make your heart flutter a little bit. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The significance of the fact that in spite of our sin, God doesn't condemn us is overwhelming in and of itself, isn't it? Do you understand what that means? That means that if I walk outside this door right now, I know that Jesus Christ is alive and well in my heart, but my flesh might have me do something different. The devil may lead me down into something I don't need to be in, but Jesus has covered that sin. Jesus has covered me from the time I walked into this building until I take my last breath. Why? Because I've accepted him as my Savior. Yeah, amen. So I'm covered. It's over and done. It's a done deal. But the truth of the matter is, when you read that verse in light of chapter 7 that we just went over a little bit, the personal application of its truth is even more invigorating to us. Amen. When we see that Paul struggled with the same things we do. Guys, I'm going to ask you, if you will, stand to your feet for just a minute. We're going to read some in Romans chapter 8, maybe the first 7 or 8 verses. Beginning with verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I just pray now, God, in the next few minutes, you'll empty myself of me. Let it be nothing about me, but all about your word. As we study today the book of Romans chapter 8, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Guys, what makes it so powerful here is that Paul is providing us a glimpse into his own life in chapter 7 and then over into chapter 8. He's providing us a glimpse of his own life. Paul is honest enough to recognize within himself a tendency to get caught in the stranglehold of sin. You ever felt like sin was strangling you? Like, I know that I love Jesus. And let me tell you something. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you this. I'm jumping way down to about the third bullet already, okay? But let me go ahead and tell you. That's the devil. The devil wants to condemn you. Jesus has already freed you from condemnation, amen? If you know him as your Savior. But the devil's going to be whispering in your ear, oh, you're terrible, you're wretched, you're worthless. Oh, you did something horrible. God's never going to forgive you for that. In Christ, there is no condemnation. Can I get a witness? Amen. In Christ, there is no condemnation for what you do the rest of your life. But, as verse 8 just said, let me draw your attention to that. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Yes, we're covered by God's grace. But if we're living in the flesh, we're not going to be pleasing God. And we are going to feel bad about it. And if we continue to do that, we're not going to reap what God is wanting to give us. But guys, this is not Paul here talking about the way he used to be sinful before he became a Christian. Basically, what Paul's telling us here is, just this morning, I gave in again. Just this evening, I gave in again. Just last week, I gave in again. Guys, a lot of us are giving in again every now and then. But guess what, guys? There is now no condemnation for those who know Jesus. You know, this is a sermon a lot of preachers don't want to preach on. You know why? Because they're afraid their congregation will turn around and just start living a life of sin. No, it ought to give you freedom. It ought to help you understand that, hey, I'm going to mess up. I'm not a perfect vessel. I will not be perfect until I get to heaven one day. That's the only way I'm going to be perfect ever. Here in this body. And it won't be in this body that I'll be made into perfection. It'll be in my heavenly body that I will then be made into perfection. Guys, you try to be patient with your kids or your spouse or your parents, but in a flash you strike out and the words you've said have already done their damage. Can't take them back, can you? Let me encourage you about something here. Think before you speak. Because I'm going to tell you, one of the biggest things that the devil wants you to do is he wants you to say hurtful, harmful things to your friends and families. Because if he can divide families, then he's going to get you out of church eventually and he's going to get you away from God. If he can get that wedge in between you, that's what's going to happen. You thought you had broken the grip of that habit you had, but there was that one weak moment you listened to the whisper that told you it'll be okay just this once. And now you feel like a failure. You knew you should have steered clear, but you thought you could handle it. Before you know it, you found out the hard way that you're weaker than you thought. Guys, we're all weak in the flesh. I tell our young people all the time, don't set yourself up for failure. The flesh is weak. Don't set yourself up for disaster. Adults, don't set yourself up for disaster. The flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. You see, Paul admits that there's a battle going on within every human being. There's this battle that's going on. And when we try to win in our own strength, we often get pinned to the mat. And we have to submit. We get pinned down. Why? Because the burden of sin gets on us so heavy and so hard we can't get up from under it. But there's something that'll tell you what you can do and how to look at that. And that's verse 1 of chapter 8 of the book of Romans. Don't let sin weigh you down. Don't let sin pin you down. Why? Because if you're a child of God, there is now no condemnation for you. Amen. I'm going to keep saying that throughout this sermon because I want you to understand that. And this is something that was spawned on to me this week. That's where I got the idea for this sermon. Something that was said this week earlier. Guys, we're going to mess up. We're going to mess up. I mess up plenty. Trust me. I told you 8 years ago when I came on as interim pastor, and I've been pastor here for 7 years, I told you you hired a sinner as your preacher. Amen. And some poor people, when I first got here, were like, oh my gosh, we need to get another search committee. Then we're going to hire a sinner up here in the pulpit. But guys, let me just tell you something. Paul explains it in chapter 7. I don't know why I do some of the things I do. The things I want to do, I don't do. But I do the things that I ought not do. But thank God, by His saving grace, I'm no longer condemned for it. Amen.
Amen.
That's a great thing to know, isn't it? That's a great thing to know. Guys, we're going to get pinned to that mat if we try to rely on our own self. Jesus never intended for you to go through your life alone. He never intended for you to handle the burdens you face alone. He never intended for you to deal with those sin issues in your life alone. He's there with you and for you. And guess what? God will not love you 1 second less because you slip up than He does right now while you're sitting in this church house. Amen.
Amen.
He's not going to love you any less. The greatness of the promise of God's grace is that even when we fail again, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. There's no condemnation. There is security in our relationship with God. When you have a born-again relationship with Jesus, there's security there. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be ashamed. Why? Because the blood of Jesus has covered you. You're going to slip up. Let me go ahead and tell you. You are going to mess up. You're going to mess up. You're going to mess up terribly sometimes. But God's grace has already covered you if you're a born-again believer.
Amen.
You get back up. You say, God, thank you for loving me anyway, even though I disappointed you here. That's not who I really am. And you keep going. You keep moving forward. Guys, if we're in Christ, we don't need to wonder if God's angry with us. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you have a personal relationship with Jesus, you don't need to fear God's wrath. It's not coming on you. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
It's not coming on you if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But woe be unto those who don't. Because there will be condemnation for them one day. And it's my prayer sincerely that those who don't know Jesus, man, don't you want to be a part of something that if you mess up and you truly love Jesus with all your heart, He's already forgiven you for it? Or do you want to live like the rest of the world and end up in a place one day totally and eternally separated from God? I don't want to be that position. I don't want to do that. Guys, when God looks at you, He does not see a wretch. He doesn't see some poor, wretchful person. He doesn't see that. He sees a son or a daughter. Now let me tell you why this is so important to understand, guys. Because if the truth be known, there's sometimes condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But let me clarify this. It never comes from God. It comes from Satan. Satan will try to condemn you. He'll try to convince you that you are condemned because of what you've done, what you've said, what you've thought, what you've spoken, what you've done out in public, what you've done in private. He's going to try to condemn you for that. You know what the word Satan means in Hebrew? It means accuser. He's always trying to accuse you of something. Oh, you did this. Well, you shouldn't have done that. Oh, you better watch out about that. He loves to fool us into believing that we are condemned. But guys, we just read in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is now no what? Condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's now no condemnation. He wants to trap us into believing that we're so wretched that God doesn't want anything to do with us. How many of you have ever felt at one point in time in your life, now I'm talking about after you got saved, how many of you have felt like, I have so disappointed God that He cannot love me anymore? Anybody ever gotten to that point?
Amen.
He loves you just as much then as He does now. There's no change in His love for you. There's no change in how He feels for you. Once you've accepted Him as your Savior, the love of Jesus Christ is in you and it cannot be run out. It will not leave. The devil's going to try to come. He's going to try to convince you you're condemned. But there is no condemnation for those who know Jesus Christ. That's the truth. Guys, the devil wants it to be like Adam and Eve in the garden after they sinned. What did they do? They ran and hid from God. Why? It wasn't, they discovered they were naked, but they really didn't even know what nakedness was then. I mean, good grief. They'd been running around that way for all that time. That wasn't the real issue. The real issue was they thought God did not like them anymore. So they went and hid. What does God do? He made them something to wear. Now, somebody that doesn't like you is not going to take the time to make you something to wear because you're naked, right? No, they're not going to do that. But God loved them. He loved them the same, even though they had sinned against Him. That's what we got to understand. They wanted to hide from Him. Guys, we failed and kicked ourselves and felt condemned. And we've wanted to hide ourselves from God and turn away from God. No, not because we don't love Him, but because we are ashamed. Because we're ashamed. Guys, listen to me. And I'm going to tell you something here as a body of believers right now. If someone has done something wrong and we know they are a believer, we should never cast a condemning eye upon them when they walk back into this church house. Amen? Can I get a witness? Amen. We should never turn a condemning eye toward them. Now, I preached a couple of Sundays ago about we should help hold each other accountable, and we should in a godly way. But we should never make someone feel so uncomfortable that they do not want to come back to God's house.
Right.
Ever. Period. End of the discussion. Because there's no condemnation for them if they know Jesus. You have done something just as bad as them, I guarantee you, at some point in time in your life. If you hadn't done it, you thought it.
That's right.
Amen? If you hadn't actually done it, I guarantee you, you thought about it. You thought about how terrible somebody was. You thought about saying all kind of bad words and stuff. So don't condemn somebody else and make them feel uncomfortable coming back into God's house. I want people to come back into God's house and realize, hey, there's no condemnation for you. I cannot condemn you because Jesus has already set you free. Amen. I can't condemn you. Guys, we felt like a wretch and we've listened to Satan tell us that God condemned us for our sin. But if we were in Christ at the time, then we were wrong. We were not condemned because of what we did. Paul recognizes a very important truth here, guys. We're going to act according to what we know we are. We're going to act toward what we know and believe we are, right? If we are tricked into thinking that we're not what God says we are, then we're going to keep on acting that way. You know why people take a long time sometimes to come back to God in the right relationship with Him? Because they think that the way they've become is the way to be. Because Satan has manipulated them into thinking that. Guys, at any point in time, boom, all you got to do is say, Lord, forgive me for what I've done. I want to get back in a right relationship with you. That's all you got to do. Because God already loves you. He's already forgiven you for it. You just confess it to Him. You're already covered. You cannot do anything to make God stop loving you. I want you to understand that. You can't do it. That's why the way to break the power of the most vicious and evil habit is to see yourself as God sees you. Then you will begin to act that way. See, guys, here's what Paul was saying in chapter 7, verse 25. He's saying, in and of myself, I can't break free from this. But because of you, Jesus, I can stand up. I can rise up out of the ashes. I can make something of myself. I can be all you want me to be. Even if I fall 5 times in 1 week, I'll get back up 5 times and praise you.
Amen.
That's what you got to understand. Now, that's not a ticket to just say, oh, Lord, your grace has covered me. Whoo, I'm headed to the bar right now. Whoo, can't wait to get there. Oh, yeah, God's grace has covered me. I'm going to go out here and I'm going to look at something horrible on TV or in the privacy of my home. Uh-uh. That's not what that's saying. Yeah, if you slip up and do that, you're covered. But if you want to live like God, if you want to live like Jesus, and draw closer to Him and be more like Him, you're not going to want to do those things. Amen? Amen. See, that's what happens with God's grace. It's so overpowering, the fact that God loves you so much that you're not going to want to do things that hurt Him. See, that's how you get out of these things that you're in. You finally realize how much God loves you. He's already forgiven the bad part of you. You got to forgive yourself. See, that's why a lot of people can't move forward. They don't forgive themselves. Jesus has already forgiven you. Your sins are already covered. If you understand what I'm saying today, say amen.
Amen.
If you can relate to what I'm saying today, say, oh me. Okay, see there? Not everybody wanted to say, oh me, but trust me, y'all all need to be saying, oh me, okay? Because I'm telling you, we've all been there. Guys, no one's righteous. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Guys, in our natural state, we get what we deserve. In our natural state now, we would get what we deserve, and that's death. Sin brings death if it is not covered by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Sin brings death if the grace of Jesus has not covered you. In other words, for any of this to apply to you right now in this auditorium, you must know Jesus as your personal Savior. Because if you don't, you're condemned already. Jesus did not sin, did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. Amen. That's a verse not many people know. We know John 3:16. That's John 3:17. We need to listen to that and look at that a little bit every now and then. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. The bad news is that everyone outside of Christ will suffer the consequences of their sin, unfortunately. They will die. They will end up separated from God eternally if they do not confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior in their life. The good news is that God made a provision for us to come into Christ. You know what coming into Christ means? That means you stepping right into Him. You're going inside Him. He's coming inside of you. And you're not walking over here and He's way over here. You're boom, you're right there together. That's what coming into Christ means. That's why when you're into Christ, you cannot get out of Christ. You understand what I'm saying? Why? Because there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In Him. In Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation. His will is that every person will come into Christ, but God doesn't force His will on us. He's not going to force you into accepting Jesus as your Savior. He's not going to do that. He gives us free will. We have to choose who's going to guide our life. Are we going to be driven by the sinful fleshly nature we're born with? Or are we going to accept Jesus as our Savior, be covered by His grace, and live every day for Him, understanding that if we mess up, we are forgiven.
Amen.
Amen. We're forgiven. We got to choose who's going to guide it. Will we live by our own standards and suffer the consequences, or will we turn our lives over to God and receive the promises of Romans chapter 8, verse 1? I want to close out this sermon today by us all repeating this after me. Therefore. And say it like you mean it. There is now no condemnation.
There is now no condemnation.
For those who are in Christ Jesus.
For those who are in Christ Jesus.
How many of you believe that? How many of you mean that when you say that and understand that? That means that, young people, if you slip up with something along the way and you're a born again believer in Jesus, you're covered.
Amen.
Turn from it. Work harder to not do it the next time. God's already forgiven you for it before you ever even do it. Older person, same thing. You do something wrong in your life, you're a born again believer in Jesus, you're already covered. God's grace has already forgiven you. It's not a ticket to keep doing that. It's a ticket to come into Him even more and love Him even more. And when you do that, you're not going to want to do those things that sin tries to convince you are okay. You're going to get away from it. You say, well, preacher, how do I break free of it? Get into Christ.
Amen.
Get into Him. Not beside Him. Get into Him. You got to get into Him. You got to get into being Christ-like. And when you get that way, you're not going to want to be like the rest of the world. You're going to want to be different. You're not going to want to say bad things. You're not going to want to do bad things. But if you ever do, know this. There's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Father God, thank you for your word. Lord, that promise right there is one promise that gives me hope to keep going each and every day. And to realize that awesome people like the Apostle Paul struggled with the things that we struggle with just gives me tremendous hope and assurance that, Lord, I can move away from that. I can get focused on you. And God, I'm praying today that these altars will fill up and people will come and lay their burdens down to you. God, that they'll ask for forgiveness. They've already been forgiven for what they've done. Lord, you just want to hear them confess it to you and move forward. God, I'm praying we'll come do that today. I'm praying if there's anybody here that does not know you, Lord, there is condemnation for those who don't know you. But Lord, once we get to know you as a personal Lord and Savior, there is no condemnation for us. There's just eternal life waiting on us at the end. But God, there's so much more that you want from us than just to get saved and to sit there and not do anything else. But Lord, I'm praying you'll shake up our hearts and minds today, Lord. And we're going to give you all the praise, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. What are we singing?
Number 509.
509. Let's stand and sing hymn number 509.